Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
We're honored to have two guests tonight. The first earned a PhD in psychology from Wayne State University. In 1990, she founded Forgotten Harvest. Our second guest is the current president / CEO of Forgotten Harvest, which rescues surplus perishable food and donates it to emergency food providers. Their names, Dr. Nancy Fishman and Susan Ellis Goodell, and we're honored to have them as our guest. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Anything is Possible with Jack Rasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're with the founder of Forgotten Harvest, Dr. Nancy Fishman, and the current CEO president, Susan Ellis Goodell. Nancy, let's start with you. Talk about your parents and your childhood, if you will.
Sure, Jack. I had a really wonderful childhood. My parents were fantastic. There were four daughters in our family. We were all born within 6 years, very, very close family. My parents owned a summer camp for children, and two of my sisters were actually born there. We spent all the summers of our childhood there. And we had everything we needed. I never thought about wanting anything. We weren't rich, but we had whatever we needed. And yeah, it was good.
What was the biggest thing you learned from Mom, and what was the biggest thing you learned from Dad?
I learned how to survive from Mom. My mother, at the age of 32, was diagnosed with terminal breast cancer, and she had four little girls ranging in age from 2 to 8, and she spent the next years of her life preparing us for life without her. So I learned survival from her, and I learned tenacity from my father. He taught us that anything was possible. A familiar phrase on the show.
Yes. How was it you became a psychologist?
I started as a gym teacher. I graduated from college after 3 years, and I was teaching at the age of 20. My kids in my classroom were 18, and they were coming to me with all kinds of problems, and I decided to go back to school to study psychology so I would become a better teacher. But then there were too many teachers around, and my position as a teacher was reduced, so I decided to change careers and went back to school and got a PhD in psychology and developed a private practice after that.
Let's go back to 1990. Dr. Nancy Fishman, and tell us, what was your life like in 1990?
Well, I was married and had a daughter, and had inherited two stepsons in my marriage to my second husband. And life was pretty good. I was in private practice. I owned an outpatient psychiatric clinic. I was doing very well. And really, it was about 1988, I started thinking about ways that I could fulfill a promise I made to myself many years earlier about helping people who were challenged to find food. And I thought I was in a pretty good position to be able to do that. At the time, I was volunteering for a national hunger relief organization called MaZone. And at one of the meetings, somebody gave me an article about a woman in New Jersey who was picking up leftover food in her Jeep and delivering it to soup kitchens and shelters. And I stopped just dead in my tracks and went, oh my gosh, I have a Jeep. I can do that. So the very next day, I took my little red Jeep and started foraging for food around town, going to restaurants and country clubs and asking them if they had any leftovers they'd like to donate. And I put the food in my Jeep and drove it directly to three different soup kitchens in the area. And I thought, oh, this is so easy. And I just kept doing that for about a year and a half. And then somebody got wind of what I was doing and wrote a newspaper article in a local paper. The very next day, I got a call from a local clergy who said to me, today's your lucky day. An elderly couple read the article in the newspaper, and they would like to donate to you a refrigerated van so that you can expand your work. They would like to donate this van anonymously. Well, I just couldn't believe it. I thought, oh my gosh, somebody out there is looking out for me. So I thought, well, now I've got this van. I have to find a driver. And I got to thinking that maybe I should think about starting a nonprofit organization. And that's how Forgotten Harvest got started.
We've been listening to Dr. Nancy Fishman. Let's jump over to the current CEO president of Forgotten Harvest, Susan Alice Goodell. Susan, why do you have such a huge heart for this cause?
You know, Jack, I was one of those kids that grew up with not always having enough. I was fortunate to get through college and get my education. And like Nancy, I very much wanted to find a way to give back. And I started working in the nonprofit world. And 10 years ago, I was invited to consider a position at Forgotten Harvest. And at that time, it really wasn't what I was thinking about in my life. But I went to this meeting and I fell in love with the board and I fell in love with the mission. And I thought back to when I was a little girl and our next door neighbor sometimes made sure that we had enough food on our table to feed the four of us, the four kids and my parents. And I thought, this is so simple. This is really the purest charity concept I had ever heard of. That there is so much abundance in this country that we simply choose to throw it away. When just down the street, there are families like my family in those days that don't have enough to feed themselves and their children. And that was 10 years ago, and I have never regretted that decision. It is a blessing to go to work every day.
It's been estimated that over 25% of the food in this country gets thrown away.
That's exactly right. The USDA did a study, and 96 billion with a B, pounds of food gets thrown away every year in this country. And it's beautiful food. 25% of the food we produce in this country feeds the landfill. At the same time, just down the street, our neighbors can't feed their kids. And one quarter of all the children in our country are hungry. And that's another government statistic.
We're talking to the founder of Forgotten Harvest, Dr. Nancy Fishman, and the current president CEO, Susan Alice Goodell. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're talking to Dr. Nancy Fishman and Susan Alice Goodell. Susan, tell us about Forgotten Harvest of Southeast Michigan.
Forgotten Harvest is this great organization. We run a fleet of about 30 refrigerated trucks. They're on the road constantly, picking up food that would have been thrown away, and instead making sure that it gets to where it's needed most, to the soup kitchens, the shelters, the pantries throughout Wayne, Oakland, and Macomb counties, where people who otherwise wouldn't eat go to get their food. And it's beautiful food. Some of this food could be served on the White House table. It is just gorgeous food. And if it were not for our trucks going to pick it up, it would literally go into the trash cans, the dumpsters, and ultimately the landfill.
The food that Forgotten Harvest picks up and delivers is always free to the recipients. That when we deliver the food to soup kitchens and shelters, we are not charging them for food. A lot of people ask us, well, what's the difference between Forgotten Harvest and a food bank, such as Gleaners? The difference is a food bank is like a warehouse, and they operate by selling most of the food that they receive as donations. Forgotten Harvest's mission very clearly states that any food we donate or deliver is always free. And it is fresh and perishable foods as opposed to warehouse foods like in a food bank.
And currently you have 160 emergency food providers that you give this food to.
We do. Everything from the largest organizations that really all of your listeners have heard about, such as the Focus Hope or a Capuchin Soup Kitchen or a Detroit Rescue Mission, Salvation Army, all the way down to the smallest church pantry. And we deliver all of that food on an as-needed basis, at least weekly, but for some of the bigger nonprofits, on a daily basis.
96 billion pounds of food wasted annually in America. 1 billion pounds wasted in Metro Detroit annually.
That's what we believe. And at this time, we're rescuing a little over 20 million pounds of that annually. And so you can see we're really just rescuing just the tip of the iceberg. If we could just rescue a small percentage of the food that's currently feeding the landfills, there would be no hungry here in Metro Detroit, in Michigan, or anywhere across the country.
You will rescue and hand out over 24 million pounds of perishable food this year.
That's right. And we are on a very rapid growth rate right now. Just 2 years ago, we were distributing about half of that food. So you can see we're growing very quickly, and that's unfortunately as a direct result of the economic crisis, for lack of a better word, that we're finding ourselves in as a community. As the people we serve are people that have, you know, been part of the solidly middle-class people. Certainly we feed people who have been historically poor, but increasingly we're seeing people who, through job loss, are falling on very tough economic times, and they just need that little bit of help to make sure they have food on their tables.
To toot your own whistle, Nancy and Susan, Charity Navigator rates you as a 4-star charity. They say you're the most efficient food rescue agency in America, and that it cost you just 19 cents per pound to rescue the food and to deliver the food. How do you do such a great job at that?
Well, we're very frugal. I think I mentioned every single one of our trucks is donated. If you came out to our facility, you'd see wonderful furniture. It's all donated. All the food is donated. We have 2,800 volunteers. Literally everything that we can get our hands on, we receive donated, so that the charitable dollars we do receive go directly to the food program. About 96 cents on every dollar raised goes directly to the food program and to making sure hungry people are fed.
So, you know, Susan mentioned earlier that we, this year coming up, will rescue 24 million pounds of food. And your listeners might want to know that that really is equivalent to 24 million meals. So that many meals will be provided because Forgotten Harvest is rescuing food that would ordinarily be thrown out and delivering to emergency feeding agencies so that people who have fallen on hard times will have a meal.
Charity Navigator evaluates more than 5,000 non-for-profits. Only 8% have received 4 consecutive 4-star ratings, Forgotten Harvest being one of them.
We're very proud of that, very proud to have been named Crain's Detroit Business Best Managed Nonprofit in 2007. And in fact, if you were to visit our facility, you'd see a number of awards on the walls and so forth. But Jack, I can tell you what the most meaningful thing in our office is to me. Right outside my office is a long sheet of rolled white paper. And on that sheet of paper are the tiniest little hands in finger paints. And the children had dipped their fingers and their hands and put them on this paper. And then the teacher had interviewed them at this Head Start program in Southfield and asked the kids what was it that they had received from Forgotten Harvest that they liked the best. And next to each little hand, it says something like, "I really like the apples. Thank you for the carrots. I really especially like the milk or the juice or the," you get the picture. That's the most meaningful award we have on our walls.
If you want to learn more, www.forgottenharvest.org. In 2004, you pioneered grocery rescue in America with Kroger. How did that come about?
That is a wonderful story. We became aware years and years ago of how much great food was being thrown away at the grocery level. And in 2004, Kroger was wonderful. They stood up very publicly, and they said that they wanted a pilot with us in Metro Detroit to prove that it could be done, that all grocery stores in their chain could be rescued in a major metropolitan area. And on that day, Jack, we suddenly had 67 grocery stores that were willing to be rescued. And on that day, we also suddenly needed 7 big trucks at a cost of about $100,000 apiece, 7 drivers, the insurance, the maintenance, the diesel to put those trucks on the road. And the community really rallied around us, and the trucks were donated, and the resources came, and we proved that it could be done. And that really allowed grocery rescue to take off throughout the country. From that small pilot with us in 2004, grocery rescue is happening in every community across the country today, and millions and millions and millions of pounds of food are being rescued. Today we rescue 230 groceries just here in Metro Detroit.
And the average grocery store throws away 200 to 1,200 pounds of food a day.
That's right. And for those of you who are listening and do the grocery shopping, I mean, think about human nature. When you go to the milk section, to the dairy section, you often, you know, look through all the milks and you find the one with the longer shelf life. Well, the ones in the front, they come to us. Or people that come in and, you know, that day there's a big selection of meats and so forth, and for whatever reason, people don't choose to buy the hamburger that day or the chicken that day. Well, those get frozen and given to us. We see beautiful product from our grocery partners, and we're really grateful for that.
And in the grocery, the bakery section of the grocery stores, there are always birthday cakes. And when they're just one day old, they're donated to Forgotten Harvest, and we're able to provide a birthday cake for a child who probably has never had a birthday cake in her life. And they sit down at a table in a soup kitchen, and a cake is delivered with candles, and so much joy is brought to that child.
I would help you hand deliver those birthday cakes.
Okay. You have a deal.
You donate this food to 160 emergency food providers today. How do you pick them, and how do you make sure that they're giving the food to the right people and not to the wrong people?
That is frankly the worst job we have to make. We service 160 different soup kitchens, shelters, and pantries, and we have 75 more on our waiting list, and we don't advertise our services.
This is just three counties, Wayne, Oakland, and Macomb County.
There's not enough fresh food to go around, and so we basically have to do triage. And we choose the agencies that have the most number of children, the greatest number of children, to move more quickly up the waiting list. The next population that we look to serve are the elderly poor. The seniors we serve have monthly incomes of about $500 a month. So they're making decisions between heat or food or medicine or the other basic living essentials, and we try to make sure that they have food on their table. So we prioritize based on the needs of the population that agency would serve.
We're talking to the president and CEO of Forgotten Harvest, Susan Ellis Goodell, and the founder, Dr. Nancy Fishman. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now back to Anything is Possible with Jack Rasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're talking to the founder and also the president and CEO of Forgotten Harvest. Talk to us, if you will, about a typical day.
Wow, I don't think we have a typical day. Probably the closest to a typical day would be we start at 6, and our chefs come in, as well as our early distribution center people come in, and they start prepping for the day. The chefs get all the product ready for the 30 to 40 volunteers that will come in and pack the prepared foods and the produce that needs to be repacked as while the distribution center manager comes in and gets the food ready to go out on the trucks. Because 30 trucks will be rolling out of our parking lot at 7 o'clock, and they need to be loaded with a little bit of everything that's in the facility. And then each one of those trucks will make, 12 or 15 different visits to grocery stores and dairies and farmers and wholesalers, and they'll supplement what they've taken from the building, and they'll make sure that there's a great mix of food when they drop off that food at the agencies in the afternoon. While that is all happening out on the road, in our facility, the chefs are working with the volunteers, and the trucks will start bringing back the foods that need extra handling. So things like prepared foods from Kobo, from the Henry Ford Museum, from the casinos, or the ballparks, and that will be beautiful prepared foods from the suites at Comerica Park or the Palace or from the Joe Louis. And these great foods will come back, and the volunteers will pack them into individual and four-person family packs and prepare them for freezing to be taken out to the agencies. They'll make sandwiches because we get three-foot logs of lunch meat that can't be distributed in a three-foot log. It has to be broken down, made into sandwiches. We make about 300 to 1,200 sandwiches a day, mostly for school-age children. I mean, I could go on all day, Jack. We do a lot in our little space.
How have the face of those you help changed these last 3 years?
You know, at the beginning of Forgotten Harvest, we saw a lot of people eating in the soup kitchens and shelters who were challenged with coming back from war areas, having drug and alcohol problems, and then things started to change over the years. Even in the early years, we began to see families who were perhaps both mom and dad were working, but their jobs didn't afford them health insurance. So if one of the kids became ill, they would choose to buy medicine and then not have enough money to buy groceries. And we started seeing many more families. Now, well, Susan, what are we seeing now?
When the economy turned 3 years ago, it was just awful. Our phones would ring off the hook, and I literally hated getting up from my desk to go to the bathroom or to get a glass of water because I would listen to the staff members on the phone, and the conversations would go something like, "No, we don't judge people here." "Yes, ma'am, I understand you're an engineer. I understand you've lost your job." "Really? You only have ramen noodles in the house after dinner tonight?" And then they would go on to tell them where they could go to get the food, where we would be delivering it. But we saw just an incredible disaster in our own community. And it wasn't like Katrina, where you saw the people on the roof with white flags. It was a hidden kind of thing. And it was people who had never experienced hunger or need in their lives. And they had no idea where to turn. And these people are working nights in gas stations. They're getting whatever jobs they can while they're waiting for the economy to come back and they can feed their families again.
Forgotten Harvest is the second largest such operation in America. This year it will distribute 24.5 million pounds of rescued food free to 160 emergency food providers in Southeast Michigan. Nancy, what have these people that you helped and are helping taught you?
Oh. Well, I've learned 8 really important life lessons in doing this work over the last 22 years. It's been extremely humbling. And, you know, we're actually putting together a little book right now that talks about all of these lessons. And if your listeners would go to our website, they could acquire one of these small books and maybe read it for themselves.
www.forgottenharvest.org. Susan, what have these people taught you?
I would say resilience and persistence. Resilience, because I see what the people we serve do to make sure that they have their basic needs met. The things that people go through, I think so many people think that the government just handles this. And they think that, well, you just go and you sign up for food stamps and you call it a day. But food stamps only cover about 10 days of the month. And people have to find another way to feed themselves for the other 20 days. And what people go through to make sure that their basic human needs are met is just, it's mind-boggling.
We are just about to enter the summer vacation season. Typically, people think of hunger and winter as being partners. And our biggest concerns happen during the summer when school children are not in school, not eating the school lunch program, and they're at home with nothing to eat.
1 in 5 people today in Michigan are using food stamps. What role has God played in this mystery, in this ministry?
Well, you really have to wonder. Every single time we have needed something desperately, it has shown up on our doorstep. Now, I just don't think that's a coincidence.
For instance?
We needed, okay, this is a really good one. We had one truck that I talked about at the beginning of the show that just happened along, it seemed. But then we were rescuing a lot of food. We needed a second truck, and we needed to have a fundraiser in order to raise the money for the truck. And we had a board member at the time who said, well, let's have a comedy night. Let's do an annual comedy night. This can be our charity's fundraiser. And this board member said, I know someone who's a comedian. Maybe some of you have heard of him. He has a new TV show. He's the best friend of my brother-in-law. I'll ask him if he'd like to be our talent for the show. We all looked at her and we said, who is this? And she said, well, his name is Tim Allen. Do you know him? So Tim joined us, and I just feel like this board member came to us as a gift. She was a blessing. She happened along at the right time, and I just don't think that was a coincidence.
Susan?
We have had that experience in one way or another so many times, where we desperately need something to get the job done, and somehow it happens. And I'm not a person who believes in, I don't know what the word is, but until I came to Forgotten Harvest, I'd never had the experience like that before. And it happens regularly, without fail, at our organization. And I think part of it is such a simple, common sense charity that when people hear, if we only had X, we could work miracles. I think people feel compelled to help.
We're talking to Susan Alice Goodell, the CEO, President of Forgotten Harvest, and the founder, Dr. Nancy Fishman. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're talking to Dr. Nancy Fishman, the founder of Forgotten Harvest, and Susan Alice Goodell, the current CEO president. If there's a listener this evening that says, I'm too embarrassed to ask for help,
please call us. Forgotten Harvest is an organization that cares for people, and we believe that people deserve food because they're human beings. And we will find a way to help. There is never any reason to be embarrassed when you cannot provide food for yourself or your children. And it is amazing to me, after all these years that I've been doing this work, I still meet people, whether they're bank presidents or a politician, or I've met people in incredible positions of power that will pull me to the side of the room and say, I was one of those kids. We had government cheese growing up. Or I was one of those kids and my parents were too embarrassed to ask for help. I've seen people in incredible positions of power that have needed help, and I've seen people who have had literally nothing that need help. And it makes no difference to us. People didn't need to have good food to be productive members of our society, and we ask them to please call us.
What do you say to a listener, Nancy, this evening who says, my marriage is on the rocks because I blame my spouse for the fix we're in?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Well, if we look around, we see that no family is in a vacuum, suffering all by themselves, that we have a shared experience right now. We are challenged as a community, and there are a lot of variables that have affected each of us in different ways. And if we pull together and connect with one another and have faith that there are people out there who care and help, as Susan said, reach out, ask for help. There are people here who can help. And we don't need to allow ourselves and our families to be destroyed because we maybe have fallen on hard times and are experiencing some challenges.
www.forgottenharvest.org. Tell us about the Good Neighbors campaign.
The Good Neighbor campaign really came out of our core belief that if people only knew that their neighbor or their neighbor's child were hungry, that they would do something to help. And we are able to do so much with a dollar. Every dollar we raise, we can provide five meals for someone in need. That we named our campaign the Good Neighbor Campaign. Because what we can tell your listeners, Jack, is your neighbor is hungry. Your neighbor's child is hungry. You may not see the white flag on the roof, but with one in five people on food stamps in this state, you don't have to look very far to find a person in need. And we're asking people to be a good neighbor and help Forgotten Harvest feed neighbors in need.
Nancy, you had this private practice in 1988. You start this thing 23 years later. What amazes you the most as you watch this organization today?
Well, you would think it would be that we went from rescuing 6,000 pounds of food in a month to 24 million in a year, that would be amazing. You would think it would be that we went from one small truck to a fleet of 30 trucks. You would think it would be the many, many volunteers and all of the friends we've made over the years, friends of Forgotten Harvest. You would think it would be Susan Goodell, for whom I am eternally grateful for growing this organization. But in fact, what's really amazing to me is that we still have people right next door who are still hungry. And this is still a huge travesty in this country where nobody needs to be hungry. And we really can help simply because we can.
25% of the food we produce in America, we throw away. Food used to be the number three component in landfills. Now food is number one. Susan, you've been with this organization, your heart and soul, for 10 years. What amazes you the most?
I think that it amazes me the most that people don't realize the entire cycle that our food system plays in our world. That same 96 billion pounds of food that's feeding our landfills instead of feeding our people is actually helping to destroy our planet. The food that is rotting in landfills turns into methane gas, which is a greenhouse gas 21 times more damaging to our atmosphere than carbon. So sitting here in the Motor City, and I'm not saying carbon isn't a problem, but sitting here in the Motor City, there is something that every single one of us can do to prevent greenhouse gases, to prevent global warming, and to make sure that people are fed at the same time. And I just wish people understood that entire system so that we could prevent that from happening and instead feed our people in need.
In addition to that, imagine this. All of the people who are challenged to receive nutritious food are taxing our health system. So if we take the food that we're throwing away, good, healthy food, fresh food, and we feed people and they're healthier, we are actually helping the entire community as well.
Speaking of the entire community, Southeast Michigan is phenomenally giving. every year the Jerry Lewis Telethon, normally we're number two in the total amount pledged. Why is that?
I don't know. I think that we just have a really good heart here. We have a long history in the Detroit metropolitan area, Southeast Michigan, of givers. And I think once you get into that giving spirit and you become part of the givers, you just keep wanting to do it. It's really makes you feel good to know that every single person can help. One person can make a difference. And here in Forgotten Harvest, we help people to experience that. Whatever it is they have to give of their time, a dollar that provides five meals, it's all important.
Susan?
I came to this community in 94, and I was immediately struck by how generous and warm the people are in this community. And we're grateful for that every day, because people express that in so many different ways, whether it's coming in and volunteering time to repack food, donating that dollar, providing the food that we distribute, donating the trucks. I mean, the story goes on, and we thank you.
Dr. Nancy Fishman, Susan Ellis-Goodell, thanks very much for sharing the amazing, inspiring story and for the work you do. It was an honor to have you. After a 39-year career, the last 15 years at WJR, John Marshall is retiring. He's been the magic behind this show for its 6 years of existence. John, thanks for your friendship and world-class production, your magic every week. And best of luck as you begin the next chapter in your glorious life. Thank you. Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible.